passage about the imminent return of Jesus Christ. How about somebody do that? The coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ in the air, the blessed hope.
Okay. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah. I hope I got the right one. All right. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Amen.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen. Well, that ought to be a comfort to you. Hey, anybody else got one?
I hear.
Yes, sir. That's fast.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen.
Amen.
Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Anybody else have one? Sharon?
Watch
that thief would come, he would have watched and would not have
suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Amen. Are you ready, Sister Sharon? Are you ready for him? Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 95. Psalm 95 and verse 6. And I'm just going to preach two little words, look at them a couple places in Scripture, and we'll be done. Verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, we don't use statements like this in modern English, but he says, to, space, day. But I want you to notice this. So today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the day of provocations, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. I want you to notice this. Today, and just, I guess, there's no explanation except the Lord. The letter two is capital, or the first letter of two is capitalized. Today. Let's go back to 2 Samuel. I want to look at two today. Capitalized, distinct, separated. In 2 Samuel, and I believe it's in chapter 13. If it's not, it's in chapter 14 somewhere. And I lost my place marker. So anyway, it's in there somewhere. It's pretty good though.
Amen.
Amen. That was a good one right there. That's a good one. 14:22. Who said that? Thank you for paying attention. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today, thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, and that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. And so again, we see that this is distinct today. Just a couple pages over, we see it in Ziba, in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, and verse 3. And the king said, where is thy master's son? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Very distinct wording. I would have said today, one word, or this day, or now. The word of God says today. Very directive. It's a distinct place and point in time. It's an absolute. We go back to the book of Hebrews. And we see it in the book of Hebrews several places. And so hold your place there. And we'll get back there in a moment. And I'm going to ramble for a little bit and act like I know where this other one is that I found. And I'm going to like look around the page. So, Ashley, if you're looking at Luke 23, will I ramble and find out where that was at? Because I, again, my Bible fell on the ground and my markers moved around on me. But I do know it's Luke 23, if that helps anybody. But the statement, again, is made. It's very distinct.
23:43.
Thank you, Ms. Ashley. No, I'm just picking Jennifer. Thank you. But I want you to, all of a sudden now, in the New Testament, there's a distinction that's made. When Jesus is speaking to the thief on the cross, and he says unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It is distinctly, at this point, it is distinctly appointed. It's a very unique perspective of a place and point in time today. Even as they break that thief's legs, he had that promise of God that today. It's a day of, and I'll just say on this wise, his deliverance. And by the way, if you don't see that, it's when Joab came to David over the issue of Absalom. He found favor in the sight of the king, did he not? When did he find it? Today. When did Ziba find grace at David's feet? Today. What did the thief on the cross find? He found grace. He found favor. He found that at a distinct place and time when he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Book of Hebrews in chapter 3. I can wander around these ones a lot quicker because it's a shorter passage. So I might miss one, but I hope I don't. We'll see the text from Psalm 95. And we begin in chapter 3 of Hebrews in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. By the way, that just adds a little bit of an element to it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Today. This exact day, if you will hear his voice. What is that? It's the grace of God. If you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts, isn't the day of provocation. But when is it? It's today. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with this people, with this generation. and said, they always err in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. In verse 14, he says, but for we are made partakers of Christ. That's kind of unique. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. Who said that again? The Holy Ghost. Harden not your hearts, isn't the provocation. But then here's really the doctrine of what we're preaching. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Why did their carcasses fall? Did not believe. Was it available? Yes, it was. Could they have believed God? Yes, they could have, but they did not. What he had given them was a day that if they had heard his voice and hearkened to him, he would have delivered them. He said, today. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us enter into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us, and this is, I mentioned this on the podcast I recorded, y'all haven't heard it yet, and it wasn't a very good one anyway, but I said this, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Sorry, hyper-dispensationalist.
That's right.
Who's he talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel. He's talking about the children of the wilderness. And the gospel was also preached unto us. And he said, but the word of the priest did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And I want you to notice this. For he spake in a certain place. You know, very detailed. You know, that certain rich man. There is a certain beggar. There is a certain man. We see that in Scripture. It's not a parable. There is a certain place. It's an absolute with God. God did rest the seventh day from all his works in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. That's, of course, Israel. They did not enter into his rest because of that unbelief. Yet today, God gave them a day that they could have entered into his rest. But they hardened their hearts. God's given you a day. You could have entered into his rest. But you would not hear what the Holy Ghost said.
Harden their hearts,
bro. The heart gets hard. A man recently mentioned to me, he said, it's so difficult when people have excellent character. He thinks it's very difficult. Because people with excellent character are very well liked. They're well thought of. They seem spiritual. But there's folks in this room that are saved by the grace of God, that have entered into that rest of Jesus Christ, that have very little character. And I'm the chief. I won the award. I got the crown. Blue ribbon at the state fair. Worst character. Matter of fact, in high school, I was deemed least likely to succeed. Amen. That's not true. It's just an illustration, okay? Today, if you did that, then sue. Again, he limited a certain day. Notice this in verse 7. He limiteth a certain day. What is that certain day? It's today. Now, if you want to be a fatalist, run off in the air of fatalism, you'll say, well, that's just a certain day and time. That's the place that God is going to speak to me. That's the place I'm going to get saved. That's the place. That is a certain day. God has appointed it down the road, and I'm waiting for that day to come. But he said, today, if you will hear his voice. What is today? It's a certain day. This is an absolute. I woke up this morning, and it's February 12th, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Abraham Lincoln, if he were alive today, would be 221 years old, but he's not alive. And it's this day that God has given us. This is the day the Lord hath made. He said he limited it to a certain day, saying in David, today. Again, we saw patterns through the scripture. It's a day when God was going to do a work. It was a day when God was going to help people. It was a day when God was going to deliver. Ziba, Mephibosheth, a story, a beautiful picture of grace. It's on that day that God delivered Mephibosheth. Put him at the king's table. Took that man who was crippled in his feet, scrabbled in his beard. All those crippled feet were hidden because they were under the king's table. When you looked around the king's table, everybody looked the same. You couldn't see his feet anymore. God had taken a beggar. God had taken to the house of Saul, the son of Jonathan, and seated him with the king. He said in David, today, who said that? The Holy Ghost. After so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And notice verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, and that is Old Testament, just throwing that out there.
Right.
Pretty hard to cram. That's why the hyper-dispensationalists like to throw out the book of Hebrews. It destroys the doctrine.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
No. Kind of hard to take that and run with it when he tells you very specifically that Jesus would have, and by the way, he calls him by name, that he would have given them rest. And he would have given them rest. When? Today. But they hardened their hearts. And they blamed God. They said, well, you know, I just don't think this is it. We're just going to get a little harder and harder. They don't know they're getting harder. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. When did he cease from his own works? On a certain day. What day was that? Somebody help me out. Y'all been listening? It was today. Very distinct, very pronounced. Pastor Hain, I'll pick you out. I think you can handle it. At least you hide it well if you don't handle it. You cover it very well. That's excellence of character. Inside he's seething. Was there a certain day that God reached down and saved you as a teenage boy?
Yes.
It was a very certain, do you remember that certain day?
Definitely.
Did you have to wait for it?
I wasn't waiting or looking. I had no idea it was coming until I heard the preacher preach the gospel. And then it hit me. That's what I need.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how that fit. But that was my experience.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you how it fits. Because you're looking back.
Correct.
It was yes.
God's looking back at Israel. He's saying there was a certain day.
That's right, yes.
They could have entered in. You know, April 20th, 1997, Adolf Hitler's birthday. You got Lincoln's today? I went one time and looked and said, you know, I got saved in April 20th. Let me go see, you know, people of renown that were saved that day. Hey, thank God it wasn't Taylor Swift. Amen. I'm glad for that. I changed my birthday. I'd rather have Hitler's birthday than hers. It was a certain day. know what that day was? It was today. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. The Holy Ghost called me out. And I didn't harden my heart. For the first time in 25 years, I said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth."
Amen.
But it was a certain day. And I'm like Pastor Hayne, glad you said what you said, because believe it or not, it fit what I was going to say. I wasn't looking for it, and I wasn't waiting for it. I wasn't looking for salvation. I was reading my Bible. I was miserable. I was hating my life. The day before, I just about had a nervous breakdown, had a complete total meltdown in a theater parking lot. Went around that night, going through the motions, got up the next morning. You know how vivid it is in my mind? I watched the movie Twister. And I had like a couple hours to kill, so I sat in a bathtub at a Super 8 motel, and I yanked the TV off the stand and drug it over where I could see it, and I sat in the bathtub and ate my supper and watched Twister. Does that bother any of you? We drove by that Super 8 a couple months ago, and I remember going, "Oh yeah, that's the place I stayed the night before I got saved." When I woke up this morning, went down to the house of God, heard King James Bible preaching. Still didn't know what was going on. Didn't know that was the day. Wasn't looking for fireworks. Wasn't looking for salvation.
That's right. Exactly right.
I wasn't looking for Jesus Christ that day. But thank God the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Thank God for the drawing of the Father.
Amen.
Thank God for the precious Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking back now and I realize, oh, that was today. It was a certain day. It was an appointment I had with God. I'm not going to preach what if, because there is no what if. It was the grace of God. James chapter 4. Now, you can believe in irony if you want, but I have a Bible, okay? Kind of throws irony out the window.
Right.
King James Bible is not ironic.
No.
You know, it's just ironic that Jesus Christ happened to go to that place. It's just ironic. I was in church that morning, Brother Ronnie. That's strange.
Yeah.
Amen. Just, I think of Sister Chelsea LaRoche back there. It's just ironic that they happened to come on that night of youth week, and Brother Paul Folt stood up, pointed his finger. Just ironic that all night long is this turmoil and vileness and awfulness. And Saturday morning, it all boils over, and they just happen to be here. Strange irony. Amen and amen. And very ironic that John Aspich just happened to be driving by that sign out there.
Right, how about that?
There's a lot of folks that don't believe God.
Hey,
you know, ironically, I got saved. No, it was the grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of God. They came in on that night. Church put them up in a hotel. Brother Paul, by the grace of God, happened to be here. Brother Paul, by the grace of God, stood up and talked about somebody here's going to go to hell. The grace of God. It's a certain day. Today. Now here's the ironic part. Verse 13 of James 4. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow." It doesn't capitalize the T in tomorrow. You know why? Because for this person, there's not going to be a tomorrow. It was today. But they said, oh no, tomorrow. Agrippa said some more convenient day. The rich young ruler went away very sorrowful. There was no tomorrow. You go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's what we said. Not today. But instead, I hardened my heart. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? And Celia, this church could testify. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And Mike Batt said to me last night, he said, "Brother, I've heard preachers preach about it all my life. That young person who walked out the doors and never came back. Died. I've heard stories of them dying on the church steps. Heard stories of them dying in the house of God." Like Batt said, "I've never actually seen it till last week." They said, "We'll see you next week, Pastor." But that life's a vapor. It's a smoke ascendeth up. It's over, it's gone, it's done. One heartbeat. One burst vein. One mistake driving. I shared with some of you in our town just a couple of months ago. They're on I-81, just south of exit 21 where the two bridges are. There's a crossover for the state police and evangelists that are stuck in traffic. And as those wires that they run, their safety wires, the guardrail, but now they've replaced it with cables. You run the whole way now into Maryland after about 40 people died over 10 years. They finally put cables up. Came with enough money to save somebody's life. But they have a crossover that said it was 32 feet wide between those cables. Family's driving south on I-81. The front wheel of their motorhome burst. Now, I don't believe in irony in these things. But I'm also not going to weigh any judgment. But what are the odds that motorhome driving through a 32-foot wide gap in the cable where there's no other gap or exit for over 7 miles? And striking the tractor trailer head on. And a family of four perishing. And of course, the news is an uproar, as they should have been, made some minor national news, the tragedy of a family of four being killed in their motorhome they just bought. Going to their son's motocross. They weren't going to church. Going to their son's motocross. And they crossed a 32-foot wide area and perished. There's not a one of them that woke up that morning and thought, you know, today might be the day. Can I say this? You have an appointment with God. And I strongly recommend you make it on this side. Because if you make it in the next one, you perish. I've had a couple major appointments in my life. June 13th, 2013, I had an appointment. I wanted to be there. My wife was there. She wasn't my wife that morning, she was that evening. April 20th of 1997, I had an appointment. I can't say I wanted to be there, but I sure am glad I came.
Amen.
One of these days, it could be tonight, I have an appointment. As someone's already read tonight, "O death, where is thy sting?" He's taken that sting of death away. Death's been swallowed up in victory. My vapor will be gone. And it could be too day. It is a certain time. I want somebody to explain to me why it couldn't be today. But just use a Bible when you do. I got three young children. I think God's going to want me to raise my children. My wife and I knew a young couple that had two young children. One of the worst tragedies we've ever heard of in our entire lives. On the way home from church, a man tried to pass and hit him on his motorcycle head on. His wife was already in labor with her third child. She's stuck in the traffic jam of her dead husband. Her sister-in-law's driving her. As they drive, finally they direct them past the scene of the accident. She sees her husband's motorcycle mangled on the side of the road and realizes he's dead. And the next day, she bears his third child. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I was going to raise my three children.
Mom.
I thought God was going to be gracious to me. It's easy for us to look at Brother Hayne and say, well, he had a long life with his wife. God gave them exceptionally long time together. And thank God for that. I know you thank the Lord for that. But there's no guarantee. The awfulness of me thinking about losing my wife, I cannot bear it. Yeah. I cannot bear to think of it. I cannot bear to think of burying my child. Yeah. There's folks in here that have. Our dear brother I mentioned yesterday, he had to. The sister of the lady that his husband was killed, her two-year-old son went in for what they called a minor surgery, and after half an hour, the doctor came out white as a ghost, weeping. But broken, she said, I don't know what happened. Your son is gone. I remember that little boy running around the house in his diaper, laughing and playing, trying to climb up on my lap, and I don't like kids with diapers, so get off. Put some pants on him, goodness gracious. Never in our wildest imaginations do we ever dream that we'd sit there and try to console a mother's little boy just died like that. Young and old alike, today. If, and that's the key, you will hear his voice.
Oh, amen.
Harden not your heart.
Brother McVay, the last time we were at Shingle House,
stand up.
I felt convicted to say this last night when Pastor Seeley was talking about you could be saved tonight. I thought, you know, the last time we were at Shingle House for an evening service, the next week I was going to be working a couple hours away and my wife was going to be with me. And she was sitting there struggling with that thing of salvation. And she thought, well, next week, I have all week to just sit in the house out of town, and I'll look into this next week. I'll have all sorts of time. And God passed that verse across her mind that now, behold, now is the day of salvation. And God saved her that night.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And that song, Can You Never Pass Your Way Again, was sung twice that night. I could not resist the call to come today.
Amen.